The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good afternoon. It is one after the hour of 6 p.m., and you are listening to the KTQA Daily Briefing. My name is Sam, and with me, as usual, is Becky. How are you?
I am very, very tired. I have had a very full day as we have been wrapping up all the kinds of things involved in closing down a school that has been sort of frozen in time since March. As I was pacing socially distant hallways with no one else there, I caught this sort of just frame of a butcher paper calendar done by student council that has the March calendar there with the dances and the events and the assemblies sort of sadly peeling off the bulletin board as all of the other items are bagged up and labeled and ready for when kids come up and drive up and we have to, you know, sort of shove it over across the table as they swipe it into their car. So things are very different closing up school for the summer this year than they ever have been.
Yeah. I usually don't have like March calendars up when you close the school year.
No, I don't.
That's a very vivid image you've painted. Well,
maybe we'll tweet it out.
I'm also quite tired. On Monday, I said we were moving to the new schedule that evening, which we did. But when I set to the new, when I uploaded all the new content to the system, I noticed a problem and a series of problems, and it looked like some of the hardware at the transmitter site was failing. So I had to basically scramble and get a secondary system up, basically built out of what I just had on hand, and just sort of slapped it all together and threw it in there.
It was some interesting brainstorming. Well, I could cannibalize this part to here and that, and well, I could switch around the use of this and that.
And so the actual hardware is sitting on my lab bench right now, and I'm trying to figure out what the problem is, if it needs, what needs to be replaced, or if the whole thing needs to be replaced. So we're on the new schedule, but it's...
There's a little bits of rocky bits here and there.
Yeah, and I'm moving as fast as I can to get everything working right, and it's basically some of the processes to test the hardware is I type in a command and then I have to wait like 6 hours while it cooks. So I type in a command, I wait 6 hours, and I work on this system that we're using right now. And yeah, so it's been...
You have been doing a tremendous amount of hard work.
It's been exciting. And the problem with what I do for a living is if it's exciting, it's wrong.
If it's boring, everything is working as it should.
Yeah.
Well, I have been enjoying the bits of variety now that I'm hearing in and out on KTQA, and
that's
fun to have
it as well.
Even if there are still some kinks to work out and some rumples to smooth.
I'm not sure about this LibriVox thing.
Yeah, you know, we're giving it a try.
Okay, that was your pick.
That was.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll see how it works out. But you'll notice that there's still a lot of old-time radio, and some of the stuff that we're playing is kind of a, you know, there's a lot of space left over for your show. If you would like to be on the air, if you would like to be on KTQA, if you'd like to help us out, that's eventually what we're going to be doing, is providing that mirror to the city of Tacoma. I'd be happy to show anyone the ropes. You know how it is. I think I've made this shtick already.
You've made that pitch. Yeah.
All right. Shall we get on to the briefing?
Yes.
All right.
We shall. Because, as usual, state-level updates on COVID-19 are found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 gets you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Health department officials staff the coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. That's at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, you can press pound when they answer and say your language, and you can text the coronavirus hotline by dialing 211-211 in any language. If you dial 211, you'll get connected to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can visit wa211.org online.
Moving on to new state-level information, the state has extended through August 1st certain workplace protections for high-risk individuals seeking to protect themselves from COVID-19. Workers older than 65 years of age and those with underlying health conditions have the right to seek an alternate work assignment, including telework or remote work locations, if feasible. If that's not feasible and the employee is unable to return to work, they have the right to use any accrued leave or unemployment benefits. Employers must maintain health insurance benefits while high-risk employees are off the job and are prohibited from permanently replacing high-risk employees. New guidance on domestic services and certain recreational activities has been issued by the governor. The full memos can be found by following links at governor.wa.gov in the news section.
Those are fun ones. That includes mini golf and those kinds of recreational facilities. So I was interested to read about those things. We've got some news for those that may be crossing the border, because the Canada Border Services Agency announced Monday that non-Canadian citizens who do not exhibit signs and symptoms of COVID-19 and who are immediate family members of Canadian citizens and permanent residents will be able to enter Canada if they are reuniting with the family member for at least a period of 15 days. Anyone entering Canada, no matter their country of origin or mode of entry, must isolate themselves for 14 days if they have COVID-19 symptoms or a confirmed case, and they must quarantine at home for 14 days if they do not have symptoms.
Moving on to Tacoma, unfortunately, it's just cancellations. Tacoma's official July 4th celebration has been postponed to a future date that can accommodate large outdoor gatherings. Ethnic Fest and Community Center Summer Bashes have all been canceled. I was doing so well!
Almost got there,
Sam. Almost got through it. I don't know. Would it be depressing to say that the 4th of July celebrations might be postponed till the 4th of July 2021?
Well, a postponement could mean an entire 364 days of postponement.
So we just start celebrating last year's 4th of July on, like, you know, next year's 2020, and then 2 years from now.
I guess we'll just have to see.
I don't know.
It could be that there is a community event celebrating with, you know, big booms and bangs and fireworks and things like that at some time in early fall. But there's a lot of those things that are sort of yet to be determined.
Yeah. I could see how it goes. I expect some sort of outdoor gathering thing that may be special in some way in 2020 if we manage to not. You know, if we manage to hit phase four, I would expect that.
Yeah, I'm expecting at least a birthday bash for everyone who had a birthday after about March 15th.
You're real focused on that.
I am.
Yeah.
You had an awesome birthday and I had a quarantine birthday, and I'm a little raw about that.
you're
for no reason.
Very,
I'm like,
yeah. Like, hey, you want to do anything for your birthday last year? No.
Nah.
The year before that? No. This year, definitely. And we made a deal out of it because, you know, I was turning
an interesting number.
So,
yeah.
Shall we leave it as an exercise
listenership? To see what interesting number Sam turned.
Anyway, dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, and you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Now on to the interview.
I'm so privileged this evening to welcome L. Denise Randall. She is the Executive Director of Peace Community Center. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
Tell us a little bit about Peace Community Center. You know, it's located right here in Hilltop. It's been a going concern for about two decades now. But what is it all about for those of us that might not have ventured into that little corner of the south end of Hilltop?
Absolutely. So Peace Community Center is a nonprofit organization that was birthed out of Peace Lutheran Church as a gift to service to meet the academic needs of the community of the Hilltop. So in 2001, when our doors opened, we started with tutoring, after-school tutoring, and had community members come in working with students one-on-one, helping students, making sure that they were persisting with their reading, their math, graduating on time. And the program really grew to include elementary, middle, and high school. And so we are now a pathway model for students in grades 2 through 12. working at McCarver Elementary, Jason Lee Middle School, and each of the high schools in Tacoma. During the school day, we connect with students one-on-one. Each student has an academic mentor, counselor that's checking in on their grades, making sure that students have social-emotional skill sets and supports that they can use during the school day to help them navigate relationships and how they are connecting with each other and also with their teachers. And we have after-school programming where we also extend that tutoring and academic support coupled with STEAM enrichments. So really making sure that our students know what are the different STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics that are available, the different types of jobs, what are the skill sets that are needed, and sparking students' interest. So a lot of times we don't know what we may be good at or what we may be interested in until we have exposure to it. So we really work to help our students to have the exposure and the tools and the skill sets that are required in order for them to learn more about these different career opportunities. And that persists all the way from elementary, middle school, and then also in our high school program where we're focusing on helping our students identify college and career of best fit. So really helping our students think about, you've been on this journey as a leader, developing yourself from elementary, middle, and high school, really identifying what your talents and your skill sets are, and really starting to transition to, well, how do you want to utilize those gifts and talents? In what service area? In college, career, vocational school? Is that military service? And how are you going to utilize those skill sets to impact the new season and the new environment that you are going into? So essentially, as an organization, we are about identifying and investing in students of potential and making sure that they have all of the academic and social emotional holistic supports and skill sets. So a lot of wraparound services that we do here at the center.
Denise, it sounds like totally my jam. I mean, our listeners will know that I'm an educator, and so I'm totally all gung-ho about this. You know, you said you're associated with the Lutheran Church, and it was birthed out of the Peace Lutheran Church. Are the student-centered programs religious in any context?
So actually, we're our own nonprofit. We're not a religious organization. We are closely tied to the fact that Peace Lutheran Church said, we want to have a community center where community members can have a place to gather. Issues that are happening in the community, our doors are open as a convening space to have courageous conversation. And then also having a center and a space that's committed to the academic and holistic wraparound supports for community members. So that's a really great question. We do get that question from time to time. But no, we are not a religious organization. We have a faith-rooted statement based out of our history and our ties to the Peace Lutheran Church. But we are our own standalone nonprofit organization.
And in terms of the students that are served, it could be open to anyone regardless of what faith or worldview they come from?
Yeah, absolutely. And so really our target audience is, number one, students and families who reside and live in the hilltop of Tacoma. So the organization is committed to really thinking about, what does transformational leadership, transformational change look like through an educational lens within the hilltop of Tacoma. So our target audience are incoming second through fifth graders. So ideally we would have a student who enrolls at McCarver and they are with us through Jason Lee, and then also whatever high school that they go to. But a student can actually come in at any grade level, elementary, middle, or high school, and be able to be enrolled in our programs, our services, and receive our supports. But essentially what we are looking for, we're looking for students who come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, students of promise, who are underrepresented in a variety of career fields, and making sure that students have access to post-secondary institutions and different career opportunities that have been traditionally marginalized or underrepresented of diverse backgrounds.
One thing that caught my ear there was you said students of promise. Many, many times when folks have been sort of peripherally thinking about and talking about education, you'll hear terms like at-risk students or high poverty students. Can you tell a little bit about that phrase that you used, students of promise, and how that might differ from those other phrases that I just mentioned?
Yeah, thank you so much for calling out. I greatly appreciate it. I mean, our students, they're listening, right? So as we're using language and as we're using words to determine and to identify our students and who they are, We don't want our students thinking of themselves as a deficit, thinking that they are at risk. We want our students to think you are a student full of promise, and you are a student with the right tools and the right resources. You have the same opportunities to go just as far as anybody else who has access to different opportunities and resources. So we consistently think about how are we using asset-based language in the way that we think about our students, because it shapes our approach and our engagement with students. And we also want our students to be thinking about themselves from a very asset-based way, because that's going to help them navigate how they see themselves, and then also how they're going to see the world around them and how they're going to engage with the world and the community around them. So it's very important that we are consistently, yes, there are underrepresented demographics in different career fields and in college and education, but what we have are students of promise in our community, and with the right tools and resources, we want to tear down barriers and walls to ensure that our students have the same privileges as others in their community.
Now, you're targeting students and families in Tacoma's Hilltop neighborhoods. And over the last 20 years or so, since a Peace Community Center opened its doors, some of what Hilltop looks like has really changed, especially with housing prices increasing, rental prices increasing, and some of the generational home ownership, especially during the recession around 2008, 2009. You know, there may have been a shift in the families that lived here, the families that came in, went out, a lot of just different kind of transients, with the stability and necessarily the continuity of students being able to start at McCarver, go to Jason Lee, and then, finish out at Lincoln, for instance. How has Peace Community Center sort of adapted to that changing reality of the nature of the neighborhood?
So one of the things that we are really built on is relationship and really being aware and knowing what is happening with our families. And so as an organization, we definitely want to continue to grow in those partnerships and the relationships. So as families are moving, if they're moving by choice, if they're moving because there's a lack of affordable housing in the community, we want to know that. Because as a center, as I was saying, it's not just about the academic, but it's about the holistic. And how are we being responsive to all of the needs that we are seeing within the Hilltop of Tacoma? And so as an organization, like, we aspire to be responsive to home ownership classes, and we're actually getting ready to kick off a new 3 to 5 year strategic plan, and that is actually something that has come up where families have said, we want more information about home ownership. What information do I need to know? What do you have? And so I'm excited and looking forward to having more information coming out of the center for our families with workshops and presentations around just that, home ownership. I also want to say that while a student, anytime a student comes into Peace Community Center, you are then a scholar for life. So if that student comes into McCarver and is there for second and third grade and the family moves to a different area, that student is still a part of our program. And so what we do is we stay connected. We're staying connected with the family, even if they're no longer in the Hilltop, and making sure that we are aware of what the student's academic needs are. You know, we're reaching, making those connections, and even making connections to other resources within that community. So making sure that families are aware. So even if it's not us providing it, families know where, when, and how to access resources in the new community for their students.
Now, all those resources and all the staff that you have, that costs money. These aren't just, I'm assuming, a whole team that are all just volunteering out of the goodness of their heart. How the heck do you fund this and sustain this?
Yeah, so as a nonprofit, we have a budget. We fundraise. We have donors that are committed to the mission and vision of the organization. We are applying for grants that align with our mission and vision. And so, yes, we do have phenomenal people here who lead very passionately from the heart. We have about 35 individuals that are employed here, and that's including 10 AmeriCorps members that we have. So we do have AmeriCorps members that are on the team that work at our elementary and middle school. We have academic coaches that are working at the high school level one-on-one, and they have caseloads of students. And then we have program managers, an entire development team, and marketing and media team that is committed to making sure that we are getting the message out there about who we are, and then also making sure that we have a senior director of education program position as well that we're looking to refill. And even with that one, like, you know, what is up to date practice across development, across marketing, across education, and making sure that we're implementing that professional development in our work on a consistent basis, and we're learning and growing. So as an organization, we are running as a nonprofit. So we're setting a budget, we're reaching out for funding, applying for grants through businesses, governments, foundations, in order to meet the needs of the salaries and also of our students.
You mentioned stuff about, you know, what's most current in terms of all of these different areas. And how do you sort of target what's sort of those best interventionist practices for students, especially in a school adjacent format? I mean, I as a classroom educator can, you know, get all of my professional development and have that happen in a school context. But, you know, what makes the organization say we're going to start with second graders and we're going to work on reading in this way and we're going to work on math support in this other way?
So it's really looking at the data. So starting with second grade, you know, that's starting with elementary, really thinking about the fundamentals of reading for our students. We, you know, at some point we may say, do we want to start back at kindergarten or pre-K? But really elementary, second grade, thinking about, we know that our students need to have a really solid foundation in reading moving forward. And so that's part of the rationale for why are we starting at second grade. And what we're doing is we're looking at the data. Where are our students and where do we want them to be? And so we are looking at the approach of what are the best practices around students that are below grade level, who are on grade level, and what strategies are we utilizing in partnership with the school district in order to help our students develop in their skill sets. And so making sure that our students are growing. You also mentioned earlier about McCarver Elementary being a more transient population. That's really important for us to be thinking about as well in regards to family engagement. And what does that look like? How are we providing supports to the family in order to help support with the student being present and engaged during the school day? So all of the different elements of our community, looking at the data that we know of for our students, the quantitative and the qualitative stories, help shape how we lead and move forward with professional development for our team and also what we're providing to students and families.
I dig it for sure. Now, you also said that there are 35 very passionate people who have this calling in their heart. What motivates you and drives you in this work?
Oh, that's a great question. Let me just say my own personal journey and story. I would not be where I am today if it were not for a teacher from the hilltop of Tacoma who started the Act 6 Leadership and Scholarship Initiative, which allowed me to have a full ride scholarship to Whitworth University in Spokane, Washington. And it was the training before I went to the college campus, the training that I received and the education while on the college campus, with this lens and vision of this education is to come back and to serve in my community as an agent of change. And throughout that entire trajectory, really thinking about all of the individuals that wrapped themselves around me, who invested in me, who saw gifts and talents that I didn't even know that I had, that put me on the trajectory to know that I wanted to be a teacher, to know that I wanted to work in education and that I wanted to have an impact in community. That is the exact same investment every single day that I'm excited for us as an organization to have for students in our community. And when we think about transformational change and transformational leadership in our community, it happens with every individual person. So every person that we touch and every person that we have the opportunity to invest in, to say to them, these are your gifts and talents, and to then nurture and cultivate them, it's absolutely phenomenal to think about the impact that can have on a community. And that drives me every single day to know that there are artists in our community, that there are doctors in our community, and all they need is for someone to help expose them to those skill sets and those talents. We have debaters in our community. Like, we just have such talented students, and we just need folks to open the door and to continue to invest in them. And that drives me every single day, knowing that we are making the difference in young folks' lives.
Well, it's really neat to hear a little bit of your backstory as well, because full disclosure to our listeners, you and I are just now connecting after about a 10-year hiatus, because we had worked together in a summer school program, you know, enrichment, preparing high schoolers mm-hmm. for some academic success and college awareness. But what has the last decade looked like for you before you joined Peace Community Center? Because you said, you know, it put you on a path to knowing you wanted to be an educator. Certainly, directing Peace Community Center with such a focus in education is a way of being an educator, but it must have been a little bit of a circuitous path for you to get there.
Well, actually, I came out of Whitworth University with an English BA and really set on being an educator and came home knowing that I wanted to serve in Tacoma as opposed to staying in Spokane. And so I came back to get my master's in education from Pacific Lutheran University and was blessed to be able to start my teaching career at Stadium High School in Tacoma Public Schools. And so throughout that, the last 2 years, you ask, what have I been up to? I've worked as a classroom teacher. I was at the Metropolitan Development Council working in college access for students from diverse backgrounds and populations to ensure their enrollment into post-secondary institutions. I have worked as an assistant principal, a regional director of college readiness, and now executive director of Peace Community Center. So it's kind of been this trajectory closely tied to education and college access. So I could not think of a better fit for me than to be at an organization that is all about community, investing in students, and then really making sure that our students are achieving their post-secondary pathways of the best fit.
I love it. And, you know, you said you knew that you wanted to come home to Tacoma. What do you appreciate most about Tacoma?
I mean, this is the place when we talk about a person who came to Washington State via the military. I actually graduated from Clover Park School District from Lakes High School, and Tacoma was all of these high points in my life of mentors and leaders who invested in me. This was the first community where I received that wraparound support. This was a community right here in the Hilltop where I spent my year before going off to college really thinking about social justice, racial reconciliation, my own academic growth and development and what that looked like, having courageous conversations with my peers. So this Tacoma definitely is community for me.
I imagine that year of prep and things like that, where you're, you know, you talk about justice and racial reconciliation. Going as a person of color, if I may identify you as a person of color on the radio, going to Whitworth University in Spokane, which I imagine the student population looks very different from you. How did that impact sort of your trajectory and journey?
Yeah, let me say at the time when I was at Whitworth, it was very different. It is not the case today. Whitworth, I want to say is, and someone can look this up, but I want to say it's like really close to approaching 40% students of color. But that wasn't the case when I was a student, when I graduated back in 2007. And it was a different experience. I actually went to Whitworth before I received the scholarship. I was thinking that I was going to go to a historically black college. I was born in Mississippi, grew up in Louisiana, and my heart's desire was always to go back south. But when I took one step on that campus, for the scholarship competition, I knew that that was my community and space of where I was supposed to be. And so what it felt like and what it was definitely a stark reality of I'm one of very few people of color on this campus. But I was also in a community of professors who had made a commitment to the scholarship program that said, we want to do better. We want to learn from your experiences as a student and what you bring to our community. And that level of interest and engagement was very inspiring. This is not to say that there weren't challenges. There were definitely challenges. And there were definitely reminders that I am not in Tacoma. I am in Spokane, in a very isolated part of Spokane. But because I had my cadre and my community and we were able to lean on one another, I was able to take away a really high quality education while at the same time having opportunities to really refine my own position in racial reconciliation, practice in courageous conversation, and also just really solidifying my commitment to this work.
You know, you say Whitworth has changed in, you know, the last decade or so and changed in their commitment, but we still see a lot of this disequilibrium and inequality and disproportionality in education, in career areas, in home ownership, and all these kinds of areas. And it's especially coming to the fore right now. We have near daily rallies, demonstrations, protests throughout our country, and then very close to home here in Seattle and right here even in Tacoma, and especially in Tacoma. What do you think is the interface between Peace Community Center and then some of that awareness building that for some folks may just be on their purview very recently?
Yeah, so first thing that I'll say is, I mean, this has been happening for a really long time. It's just, I think, coming to the light for some people. Most people are now becoming more aware given what's happened in our nation. And so now we have more businesses and folks that are taking a closer look at their practices, who has access and who doesn't have access to their buildings. But this, you know, this is not new. You know, people are just becoming more aware of these issues and what's happening. Our position as an organization, you know, we have a very strong stance as being an anti-racist organization and continuing to challenge ourselves and our own personal growth, professional development as leaders, and then also thinking about how we are engaging with our community and how we are engaging with our students. And so for us as an organization, we want to be in a position to where we are consistently calling out and addressing any forms of racism that we are seeing, really thinking about systemic racism and what position and stance can we take as an organization. Sometimes that's thinking about our practices, looking at our hiring practices within our organization. And that may be a place of, are we opening up our facility and our building to creating a space for conversation to happen? And how are we leading in professional development for our community, or creating space for our community to have conversation to talk through these issues? So as an organization, we are internally consistently reflecting and thinking about our own growth as an anti-racism organization that is committed to the work, and then also being super aware and responsive to what's happening in our community and how can we position ourselves to be an ally and to position ourselves to be responsive to the needs of what our families and especially our scholars are seeing and experiencing.
Well, some of the things that, of course, our communities and families have been experiencing involves the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you talk a little bit about how Peace Community Center has changed since the pandemic and some of the programs and supports that have been offered?
Absolutely. So pre-pandemic, we were in the schools during the school day. In the afternoon, we had after-school programming where we were providing meals, hot meals for our students at our elementary and our high school programming. All of that stopped. And so just like the schools had to close, the programming that partnered with the schools no longer had access to students or to the facility. And so one of the things that the pandemic did, even though we have a facility and we have space, we also had to close our physical location. But we were open to a virtual platform. So what we did as an organization to be responsive is we really started to gather from our families and students. What are the needs right now? What is it that our families are finding that they don't have access to in order for their students to be able to log on to these virtual platforms? So what we were finding is that we had families who were not able to go pick up the physical packets of work for students from the school district because families didn't have access to internet in their home. So they weren't able to just log onto the computer and download those resources. So we stepped in where we were physically going and picking up those packets or we were downloading them and printing them out here at the center and then either mailing them to families or physically driving them and dropping them off to families. Another area that we saw that families really needed support with was technology. And so we put out an ask to our network, to our donors and supporters around hotspots, and was super, super grateful for the funding and the responsiveness from different foundations that said, this is the need right now, utilize funding, or we want to provide funding in order to be able to help get hotspots in the homes of our families so that students have access to internet. And that's the same for technology as well. And then there's also, there were resources that came up where families needed food. Super grateful that we were able to purchase $5,000 worth of gift cards for food for families to be able to go to Safeway. So very, very excited. Families have been getting those last week and this week. So again, just really thinking about what are the needs that our families have and our students have, and how can we position ourselves to receive those resources and then getting them out quickly to families immediately to meet needs. The other piece that I would just say is academically, it was so, so important that our students knew that, hey, you still have access to us, your mentors, your academic coaches. And so we quickly turned to a virtual platform where we were emailing our students and families and connecting via virtual connections where students were able to ask questions about their homework. So the same kind of space that we had after school where students would come in and they would sit down and they would get help from their coach, from their coaches, students were still are still able to do that through a virtual connection where they can pull up the video screen and be able to ask questions about their math. We were really challenging our elementary students to think about how many pages they were reading, to continue that up, keep their reading up, thinking about their vocabulary, the enrichment classes that we were offering on site. We switched those to a virtual platform. So for our middle school students, we have really fun ones like culinary arts, where we have videos that have been put together by one of our AmeriCorps members, teaching students how to cook these really like intricate and wonderful meals, of course, with a parent supervision, guardian supervision. That's a part of the videos. But what we did was we had to stay current with what was happening. And what was happening is that we were quickly watching the world flip. Everyone went on to Zoom, right? Everyone went on Team Meets and Google Hangouts. And we were just working to stay up with the times to ensure that we maintained the connections with our students and they were still receiving academic support.
Did you get any feedback, any magnificent culinary creations or anything like that? I mean, I imagine that as much as the students and young folks are missing their coaches and mentors and teachers are probably also missing that connection with those kiddos that come by.
Absolutely. And you could see it in each of the videos where we had one that was called the Bobcat News from Jason Lee Middle School. And she would just share like really inspiring and encouraging news from around the world. And, you know, she would consistently say, you know, we really miss you guys. Like, we want to hear what's happening with you. Like, if we've been calling you and you haven't connected with us yet, give us a call. And then with our elementary team, they were sending out handwritten notes to students. And so the students were so excited to be able to get those in the mail. But it was really awesome to see, just as much as you're saying that students miss that connection, how much educators really love and enjoy the work that we do in connecting with students on a day-to-day basis. So that was definitely prevalent and kind of heightened throughout this time that we haven't been able to connect with students.
Well, I will definitely second that as well. I guess my lens is a little bit biased in that direction as well. Denise, what programs or projects are on the horizon for Peace Community Center?
We are so excited to be kicking off our first ever virtual summer program. It is going to be a STEAM-focused program. And so what we're doing is we are providing all of the materials that are needed for our students in elementary, middle, and high school. The little fun packets that we're going to get out in the mail to families. Families can pick them up from the center or we can mail them out. And we will get those out to everyone. And then students will be able to log on virtually with their teacher and to be able to see other classmates to be able to work through these projects during the week for 4 weeks. And so our summer program for families who live in the hilltop of Tacoma, if your student is enrolled at McCarver or Jason Lee or any of the high schools, we would encourage you to reach out to us here at Peace Community Center. You can reach me by email at Denise, D-E-N-I-C-E, at peacecommunitycenter.org. And I would be happy to share additional information. But the summer program is 4 weeks. It starts June 22nd and it goes until Friday, July 17th. So it's just going to be a really great opportunity for students to be challenged, to learn about different STEAM projects, to do this on this whole virtual learning platform. We promise your child will not be online for 3 hours straight or for 6 hours straight a day. We have this built in to where students are building relationship with one another. They're meeting their certificated teachers, working closely with their enrichment teachers. We really believe this is going to be a fun, highly engaged opportunity for our students. So we are very much excited for that and just looking forward to learn more about what next school year will look like. So as that information comes out, we'll be able to make some determinations about what programming for the next academic year will be.
Definitely sounds amazing. Now, besides emailing you, how can listeners learn more and follow up with what's going on at Peace Community Center?
We would love for you to join our mailing list. You can sign up by going to peacecommunitycenter.org. And if you go to our website, you can sign up to get our newsletters, connect with us. All of our emails are listed on there if you want to connect with me directly or anyone else. But we definitely would love to stay connected, would love to meet you, whether that's virtually right now or via phone call. But definitely would love for our listeners and invite you to get connected with Peace Community Center.
Well, Denise, it's really been a pleasure connecting with you and speaking with you tonight about Peace Community Center. Anything else you want to share with the listeners of KTQA?
We are giving out free school supplies in partnership with Tacoma Public Schools every Friday this month from 5 to 7 here at the center. And so folks are able to drive through to be able to pick up school supplies and also get a free meal, a free dinner meal from Peace Lutheran Church.
So where is that located exactly?
So the church and the center are physically adjacent to each other, off of 21st and Cushman.
Awesome. So again, that's throughout the month of June. You're one of the locations that is partnering with Tacoma Public Schools to make school supplies available?
Correct. So Tacoma Public Schools is partnering with organizations and community. We're one of six to be able to get school supplies out. And we tied it to a community meal time so that families could get a meal if they chose for everyone in their family and also pick up school supplies and books from the Tacoma Library.
Amazing resource. Thank you so much.
And I just want to say I'm so appreciative to be able to be here at the center and also to serve our families, students, and community. And so as we get ready to kick off this new 3 to 5 year strategic plan, please be sure to check in with us because we're going to have some really phenomenal programming over this next year. So feel free to just stop by and say hello because we're just so excited and honored and privileged to be able to do this great work and to serve Hilltop scholars and families. So thank you.
Thank you. L. Denise Randall is the Executive Director of Peace Community Center.
Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. You can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Talk to you on Friday.
KTQA LP 95.3, Tacoma.